Maybe they're the same root word. I thought
Welcome
you'd be
to Cincinnati.
You look like you walked 4 blocks.
I thought you'd be used to this by now, coming back from Ohio. Romans 12. Before we took a trip backwards, we were studying verse 9. I think we got to let love be without dissimulation. Remember what dissimulation means?
Without condition. Not close.
Not even close.
No prize for you.
It's anupokritos, which means, I'm not sure I didn't pronounce it right, but it means to take up another's speech or another's statements, to read a script. So, the idea being that let love come from the deeper self, not this learning how to love.
Have a nice day.
Not, all right, everybody stand up and shake the hand and blah, 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 blah. It's got to come from a source that is not learned, not traditions of men. So dissimulation means to take up another's script, to be an actor, therefore to be a hypocrite. So the outward expression does not agree with what is within. Now, this is where all kinds of crap comes up. That's why we probably went through the what Bloom called the fistfight stage. Because to break down the acting that is so much a part of each one of us, so that there is real. Something real, not something learned by the traditions of men, is a huge deal. Anybody remember those times, Gary?
I will. Yeah, those were great days. Yeah. I remember your black eye.
You had a black eye.
What do you remember about it?
Oh, I remember all the intensity of getting past all the surface niceties, what it took to get down to reality, and then what happened when we got there and explored around. It was, I personally look back with fondness to those experiences. A lot of people, I guess, didn't.
What do you most remember with that had to do with you?
What pops into my mind immediately is the experience I had with Doug at Gilmore, where he was out there and couldn't get back. And I remember saying within myself, you said with somebody, I think you said something like, will someone give their life for this man? Something like that. And I contemplated it for a moment, and then I said within myself, I will. And then I swooned, and actually almost fainted. It felt like my life just rushed out of my body. But I believe something happened to Doug from what I saw at the same moment. And that was a profound experience that kind of encapsulated a whole lot of what we were doing.
This is something that Mr. Skippy wrote right about that time. The hard human heart harbors a deep yearning to give. And when the Holy Spirit pierces that stone, the accompanying pain is forgotten as the yearning is released and begins to unfold like a flowering bud. Captivated with its fragrance, you release your grasp on your own emotions, letting them respond to God's touch without inhibition or without apology. You release the past, the bitterness and festering wounds of past hurts, as well as the hopeless longing to return to better times gone by. The future, with its crush of unseen worries, plans, and ambitions, is loosed from your back as well. Last, in this disentanglement from time, you give God each moment, each twinkling of an eye, each now. Giving continues, and you find yourself releasing to God the very right to yourself. The careful measuring of yourself to others or to some standard becomes strange to you. You are accepted by God in His Son, and you accept others as they are. You disengage the social machine that has governed your conduct in interaction with people all your life, and you leave behind all other devices that protect you or distort reality or cloud who you truly are. In every aspect of thinking, speaking, or acting, you depend upon the Father and nothing else, and you do this openly. And at last you are drawn to others by this yearning, not to gain, but to give. You find the primeval inducement to gather, or survival, is replaced by its opposite, agape, self-giving love. And now for once, you are a perfect fit. In this fellowship, He is there pouring Himself out through you. There is fire, emotion, conflict, death, life, and growth. And all for a purpose you vaguely see, but somehow deeply know. But you say you have not yet felt that first sharp entrance of the Spirit sword. Standing on the edge of this exhilaration, wanting to trust, caught between the unknown and the knowledge you cannot turn back, you will find Him. And He will strike a chord that runs through you and throughout all history. It vibrates, but not from the earth or even from the cosmos. Through that chord, you will feel the shaking of everything created, and by it you will be tied to Him who is outside of time and space. And finally, your heart's desire will be satisfied. Pretty incredible.
That's amazing. When did he write that?
95? Oh, no. This was written in 77 or 78, something like that. That's pretty
he
early.
He got married in 77, so...
He did after you got married?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then it was...
Do you have a copy of that?
Yeah, I can give it down the office.
So let love be without dissimulation. It's a nice little declarative sentence.
And dissimulation means...
Taking up another speech, pretense. Like thinking you should act in a certain way. It's again another word or another way of looking at the traditions of men, something you were taught. Any response, anybody?
That letter is why.
Well, it's totally risky.
Yeah.
It's like to let love be without dissimulation is a huge risk. Because you have to discard all the conventions of society. And you have to trust that that divine impulse within you will be manifest in a way, and you have no idea what is going to happen. Every time I open my mouth, and this has been true for years, I risk everybody leaving. Then I could go live in a cave. Except I probably already live in a cave, spiritually.
Cave on Columbia.
But so this simple statement, let love be without dissimulation, it encompasses the meaning of sanctification, the idea that you would just stop acting, stop trying to be, stop trying to get it right, all that other boring crap. And you just live. And you live, but you live openly. You don't go hide out in your own mind about issues. You don't escape with drugs and alcohol. You live. Because the wine of Ephraim is no longer controlling you. The idea of self-seeking becomes strange to you. Then it says, abhor that which is evil. It's in the sentence structure, it means love with dissimulation. Dissimulation's love is something to be abhorred because it's pure evil. Because it's an act of the evil one. And nobody that hasn't, you know, this is the kind of stuff that'll get you killed. Because especially if you teach that to the kids. Let love be without dissimulation. Oh, I can't say that, because if I said that, then that would happen. There's no more measuring what you're going to say or what you're going to do or what you're going to think. You just be. And that's called faith, believe it or not. You're doing it, Gary.
I'm doing it openly.
It wasn't very open because you didn't say anything.
You were talking, I bet. This is just why you have to be plowed up, why suffering has to take place, because without it, you do cover yourself with traditions and any other protective device to not let that vulnerable place be seen.
So instead, you know, people walk around in shame or guilt or, oh, poor me, or this is blah, blah, blah. You're a victim of the friggin' universe. Let's go to Matthew 11.
I was going to say, I watched some of the political news coverage last night, and what struck me is that nobody is saying anything unless it's been written down and refined and wordsmithed and practiced. There's no
life.
Somebody walking out and saying what they feel. It's all been measured carefully, and it's just a pretend world. I was noticed that last night. These were simple, casual speeches. Yet they had teleprompters, and you could tell it had been rehearsed hundreds of times. Simple, casual speech.
I was thinking on the walk back this morning about Jesus saying deny yourself, and that one little sentence is the same basic thing. Without denial of self, this place of love without dissimulation will never take place.
Can't happen.
It's impossible. So he didn't say that to hurt you. He said that to open up the universe. Love.
We can't conceive that the simple act of the fall of man so screwed up the universe. We can't conceive that it was it's much more than cosmic. It was everything got screwed up, but especially in our minds. Because at the fall, we gained the capacity for self-awareness. And that's the worst thing that could have ever happened from God's standpoint. Now that's why we have to go through the whole gamut of push self-awareness to the very edge so that you see it's just idiotic. So every time, you know, every single time your mind has you as the subject of your sentence, that's what you must abhor, because it's evil. And you've got 50,000 reasons why you should do it. And they all seem so sweet and so sincere. But they're all garbage from the pits of hell. All right, Matthew 11. Verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. And that's what our life has been made up of being taught that when somebody laments, you mourn. When somebody pipes, you dance. And so that's why this idea that our life has nothing to do with this world except to be tested by it, because we are tied to that cord that's from eternity itself, from the heart of God, not what's going on around us. Nobody cares. And that's why the evil one, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, has set himself up in the temple of God. You are the temple of God, and the evil one has set himself up in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. He's showing himself because he's in control. He's judging good and evil. Well, I can't say that, or I better not do this, or this is blah, blah, blah. All the things of being prudent. I thank thee, Father, thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto babes. As long as you're being prudent, you can't hear, you can't see. Be careful for nothing. Being careful is so boring. I won't talk anymore.
At Christmas time, Jackie and Fiona, I heard the story. They came to a stoplight after they got off one of the freeways. And there was this homeless guy holding up a sign. And Fiona said, Look, Mom, he's holding a sign that says Merry Christmas. And she screamed out the window, Merry Christmas to you, too. And it was just a picture of God, what it's like to not know shit. It's fantastic. It's just freedom.
Any other responses, reactions?
This only takes place in the moment. It's not something you can hear now and practice. It's you remain in the in now and abandoned. That place.
Again, that's why you can't do this unless you know that Jesus Christ is in you.
Yeah.
If you don't know it, then you have to walk around the world being careful, wondering what you're going to do about this, what I'm going to do about that. What's that person thinking of me? What can I do to gain an advantage? How can I get this to be done so that will happen? All righty, take a big gun. I'm rolling up.
I have a question.
Yeah, I got about 3 hours worth when you weren't here.
You missed.